record. So this is the first Recreation Division Advisory Committee meeting. Yay, we made it. And we're beginning at 4:04 p.m. So just a couple just housekeeping things. First of all, I want to thank you all for being here, and those of you who are graciously volunteering your time to do this, we really appreciate you and for being here. Housekeeping, bathrooms, just down the breezeway in the next building on the left. And the building is unlocked, so you can go in and use the restroom as needed. We are going to end the meeting at 5:30 tonight. Just looking at the agenda, everybody has a copy of the packet. Normally, in our RDAC meeting, we would be approving minutes, but this is our first meeting, so we don't have to do that. And this is also a public meeting, which means the public can participate in this meeting. We don't have any public here today, so we're going to move off of that. But if the public was here to speak, they would fill out a speaker request form to speak on something that's not on the agenda. So the first thing I want to do is talk about what we're going to do today. So we're going to do introductions, since not all of us know each other. And the purpose of the meeting today is for, one, for the committee to get to know one another, because we're going to be spending some time together every other month, making decisions and coming to consensus, making recommendations to the Parks Commission. So getting to know one another, for you as committee members to understand what your role is and what our charge is, and to establish regular meeting dates and times. So we want to kind of figure out when we can continue to meet. So the first thing I want to do is we're going to go around the room, and we're going to introduce yourself. You have 2 minutes to introduce yourself, and you're going to pick a question out of this little fun little thing here, and you can answer the question. If you don't want to answer that question, you can put it back in and answer a different question.
Oh, nice.
But you can only put it back once.
But you can only, okay, during that role.
Okay. Already.
Okay, I'm mixing them up. And in order to keep us on track, each person gets 2 minutes. And when I say each person, we're gonna just go with the committee members at this point, and the staff can just introduce themselves.
Okay.
Just to make sure we stay. So, Jim, do you want to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. And make sure you introduce yourself and what your role is.
My name's Jim Lewis. I'm a Parks Commissioner. I've moved to Ashland in the early 80s and raised my 2 sons here, and now have granddaughters and going through the whole system. And so who doesn't like recreation, you know, and parks? And so my question is, what single event did most to change the way you see the world?
Oh, wow.
Let's see. Which time do I have left? That's a good question. And I could email you guys all a great answer. I can't say that there's any one single event other than the ongoing continuum of, I grew up in Los Angeles. I made the amazing decision that I didn't know was amazing to move to Southern Oregon, and ended up having children here in Oregon, and raising them in an amazing community. And I think for me, it's not any single event, but for Ashland, I started volunteering in 1986 on the Historic Commission. And so I thought, I'm a proactive, can-do, solution-based individual. And so, you know, there's a lot of people who come to town and they like complaining about how Ashland is. I said, hey, I'm going to be part of the solution and be part of the city as well. And so I think, now it's 86, so I'm over 30 years of volunteering, and at one point I calculated how many public meetings I've been to, and then, you know, I often think, well, when I regret showing up at meetings, or I think, oh God, not another meeting, I'm gonna move away from volunteering, but that hasn't happened yet. I'm always really excited, and Parks is the most amazing amazing group in town, and the staff, and I've seen the staff come and go, and I've been a Parks Commissioner since 2000, and so it's been an amazing experience here in small town America, and Ashland is it's just, as I think we can agree, it's worth volunteering for and putting out some effort for.
So, okay, you're out of time.
Yeah. Cut them off.
Are we putting these back in? Do you guys want to put them back in? Or?
Okay. Whatever you like.
Whatever. Okay, Corey.
So I'm introducing myself?
Yes, and?
All right, so my name's Corey Grimm, and I've been teaching ballroom dance through Parks and Rec for about 15, maybe longer, 15 years or so. I've got a pretty nice turnout there, and my husband is also the committee chair for the Boy Scouts. And so they use Pioneer Hall, and we got that connection. How would your best friend describe you? That would be my husband. Actually, we had a discussion about that. He probably thinks I'm pretty sexy. But my other girlfriend, yeah, usually practical. A lot of people think that I'm practical. So, yeah.
I'm Libby Van Wy. I'm the manager over at North Mountain Park Nature Center. Rachel is my direct supervisor, and I work with the commission quite a bit. And because North Mountain Park is part of recreation, I'm really interested in this group.
Yeah, and just for Libby and Lonnie are two of our managers within the recreation division, and they will be helping to support this group. We may not all be here at the same time, but I just wanted to make sure that you saw their faces. We may be tag teaming sometimes. You may get one of them instead of me, but that's kind of how we're going to be able to move this staff this committee.
We want to hear an answer.
Oh, do you want to? Okay.
But the timing, I don't know.
We're fine. All right, we're fine. Just do it.
All right. Do quick.
What
communities are you a part of? Well, the Nature Center is one huge community. It's really a family down there. Mm-hmm. And let's see. And that just encompasses so much. That's our volunteers and our instructors, and I'm part of a Southern Oregon Regional Environmental Educators, and so we're actually meeting tomorrow night to make sure that all of our informal education offerings don't compete with each other, and we're all like moving the community forward together. And I think that's pretty good.
That's very good. I'm Val Rogers, Executive Director of Rogue World Music. Our organization builds community and cultural awareness through world music experiences, and I've had the great pleasure to work with Parks and Recreation staff producing the Ashland World Music Festival. And the festival just keeps growing and getting more and more exciting. We just now finalized our lineup for the Banshell stage for 2020. And I'm just really happy to be involved. I walk over at North Mountain Park quite a bit and think that the Nature Center over there is just really sweet.
Yeah.
And I have quite a background in environmental science as well. I'm working with a group that partnered with a county agency that managed 2,000 acres of parkland right where the headwaters of the Middle Fork of the Willamette come together. So it's great to be, you know, around some recreation and some nature and some parks and all together.
Yes.
Cool. Let's see what my question is. Well, what services does APRC provide that you already use?
Ooh.
Well, I am taking the Volcanic Explosion Dance class that just started this month at the Grove. And it's wonderful.
Good.
It's fabulous. But I also am becoming one of Ashland's many avid hikers of the park system here. I'm extending further and further every time I go up the trails up Ashland Creek and up the watershed, and it's just an amazing amenity here in this town, the park system.
I'm Lonnie Floor. I'm the recreation manager and directly supervised by Rachel. So my office is at the Grove, and I'm responsible for coordinating the ice rink, the pool, general recreation classes that occur in the Grove, some of the partnerships also for activities in the Grove and throughout our park system, partnering with Rogue World Music on the music festival is one of the big events that I work on. Wear a lot of different hats, so should I answer it?
Yeah, you might have to start putting some questions back in there because I think I have enough.
Or make up your own questions.
What do you think is the most underserved group in the community? Yeah.
Lap swimmers.
See, that's where I have to be really careful about my answer.
That's a very charged question for you, Lonnie.
Lonnie knows. It was the silence. I just wanted to feel it.
Yeah. Oh, man. The most underserved. Well,
we're not gonna
One of them I would say would be the special needs community, would be one, that we've had adapted programs before and they've kind of fallen off a little bit with our ability, I guess, to keep people in place to run them. So that would be one of probably many that we could identify. So I'll leave it at that.
Hi, I'm Jordan Rose, and I run the Silent Discos in the park, and Silent Movement International, and Synths for Kids is another sort of nonprofit project that we have as one of the channels at the Silent Discos. We have this big interactive music synth wagon thing. So yeah, I've been doing that for, this will be our fourth season doing those events, and Rachel has just been so awesome in helping make that a reality, and so I've been working closely with her on those events each summer, spring and summer, and love to expand sort of the capabilities of what we can do with that technology of having, you know, being able to do events outside or inside or wherever, and not make any noise. I foresee it being a really useful tool if we have smoke seasons and have to try to figure out recreational activities for people, to families, kids to do indoors. Like, we can have up to three different channels of different activities going on inside in a space. I've got a lot of, I just constantly coming up with ideas of cool things for to do in the community with technology. And I was born and raised in Ashland. I've got a three-year-old daughter, she's turning three in 2 days. And so I'm here to stay. And I love this community, and love trying to bring people together. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna pull one of these things out. You just did that one, so I'm gonna pull it out.
Dig down deep.
Yeah. Ooh, if you were a teacher, what would you teach? That's a very simple one. I would teach electronic music to kids, because it's like the most amazing music tool. And I studied piano, and I thought that was great, but now that I've gotten into synthesizers, it's the coolest way to teach kids music, which is why we have that as such a prominent thing at our events, because there's no right or wrong. How many adults have been, scared of music their whole life because they got slapped on the hands by their piano teacher when they were a kid. And, with learning music from a sense of, like, we're just creating sound and there's no right or wrongs, it's a very empowering thing for kids. And I do teach that already, and I plan on teaching it more.
Great.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice.
Hi, I'm Joel Heller, probably best known in the community as the pickleball guy, pickleball teacher. Also have taught at North Mountain on classes on growing berries and fruit, and citrus. I'm also a Parks and Rec commissioner. I knew Jordan when he was born, a baby. I've been here off and on since 76, have been a strong advocate for getting recreation further developed. I think we're really strong in the parks, and so I'm excited that this committee is taking place, because I think there are several underserved communities. And one I would mention that I only became aware of because I worked in the schools for many years, but is the low-income neighborhood, which the lowest income in Ashland, you may or may not know, is the student housing area near Garfield Park. And there's a series of student housing, and those folks tend to come from different cultures than Ashland, and low-income. I'm really hoping that we will be able to get some of the more traditional sports back into Parks and Rec, giving kids opportunities to play indoors, basketball, volleyball, things that, and softball, all things that I did when I was in the 70s and 80s when I was here in Ashland. Anyway, I'm really glad this is here and that we're doing this, and on to you.
Are we leaving you out? The circle's slowly moving away.
Yeah, well, thanks for doing I'll just quickly introduce myself. My name's Michael Black. I'm the director of Ashland Parks and Recreation, and I'm really here to say thanks for volunteering and for being involved in this. I know Rachel's been looking forward to doing this for a long time, and I think you're in good hands with her. I know you're in good hands with her and Lonnie and Libby. So you won't see me very often at these, but I just wanted to come to this first one just to say hi and thank you.
All right. My name is Rebecca Bjornson, and I guess I feel like an Ashland baby. I've been here for 12 years.
Oh,
I am, but I'm not going anywhere. After my husband and I got married, we kind of did one of these, and me being from the East Coast and him being from the Southwest, my mother-in-law lives here, so Ashland won. until we rid the East Coast of winter, mosquitoes, New Englanders, New Yorkers. There's a whole a list of... I'm from Boston, so friendly to New Yorkers. So I'm newer-ish to Ashland and to the Rogue Valley, and I'm a teacher at Ashland High School. Been an instructor at SOU. I'd love to get the question that said, what would I teach? Because what haven't I taught? I started in elementary school and worked my way up with my students and became an English teacher at the middle school level for years, which most people can't understand why I would do that. And now I look at middle schoolers and I can't either. Mm-hmm. So I was at AHS for a while, taught 9th and 10th grade English, and now I run a life skills transition program for students with exceptionalities, otherwise known as our differently abled population. None of my intro answers this question. So what services, I feel like everyone answered that one, and I don't want to get into the pool situation. So what communities are you a part of? Well, I am a part of my yoga community and my AHS community and my little pot of people still at SOU. Most of them have left. And I was part of the Sangha for a while here, the Buddhist community, and my little clan, my little husband, dog, myself community. Got it? Yeah.
I want these guys to introduce themselves because you don't have to draw. I just want, this is Anna and Cheryl. And so one of the things that happens in a public meeting is that we have to take minutes for meetings. And so these two, you'll see them on occasion. Not both of them will be there, but they're in training right now. So anyways, yeah, they work really hard and keep our front office running smoothly. So.
My name is Risa, and I moved here in 1991, and really what convinced me to move here was seeing Lithia Park.
So I kind of remembered that just sitting here and listening to y'all. It's like that was really what sold me on I've got to live in a place that has this incredible part. Mm. So that really was a long time ago. I'm an unaffiliated swimmer, and so I, over the years, have been involved with wanting to swim. As an extended season, I was involved with the ad hoc that was successful in getting a new pool in the pipeline for the future of our town. North Mountain Park came next. But I want to preempt it and talk about Libby Van Wy.
Oh, come on.
I worked at Ashland Sanitary and Recology for a decade, and during that time, and I've served on the Ashland Conservation Commission, now called the Ashland Conservation Climate Outreach Commission, we had a project, and that was helping to support the city to begin to get these storm drains marked. And this puppy, she was a puppy then, and Libby was here through AmeriCorps as a volunteer. And it is not funny.
It is pretty funny.
No, but Libby did such an incredible job, and ended up over time. Here she is, Linda Chesney, you know, retired, and Libby stepped up, and that's so cool.
Thank you, Rita.
And North Mountain Park is just such a special place. Okay, I'm saying all this so that you all have a sense of my connections with. So that's why I'm doing this. Okay. I'm almost done.
Well, you've only started.
Okay, I'll give you another 30 seconds.
So something that I'm really looking forward to that Parks is involved with is the expansion of the Greenway along Bear Creek and the new park that's happening. That's just super exciting. One of the issues that is a concern of mine is just the interface with wildlife and the impacts when you take all the blackberries away to protect us from fire, but what happens where the place, the habitat for the critters goes away. That's enough.
Okay, I'll go quickly. I'll give myself a minute. I'm Rachel Dials. I'm the Recreation Superintendent for Ashland Parks and Recreation. I've been here, I was hired here to work here in 2004. I moved here from Portland, lived in Portland for 7 years as a Recreation Supervisor. Prior to that, I was in the Eugene-Springfield area, went to the University of Oregon, worked in Parks and Recreation since I was about 15, volunteering, and then throughout, worked every job I could work. So that's my background. I'm really involved with Parks and Recreation on the state level through the Oregon Recreation and Park Association. I'm the association president this year of ORPA, and I've been really involved with ORPA for many years. So it's an important, it's really, to me, it's really important to be involved and know what's going on at the state level so you can accurately portray, you know, what's happening around the state too. To make sure we're, you know, following up on trends and things like that. So I'll quickly answer a question. If you were a teacher, what would you teach?
So I would teach music.
Wow. I'm a teacher.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, with that, thank you so much for being here. We're going to move on. And I really wanted to do that exercise because if we're going to be working together as a committee, we all need to, you know, get to know each other, be able to communicate effectively. So the first thing is we want to review the purpose of the committee, and you guys have in your packet, everyone should have a packet, the commission policy, and that talks about the purpose of the committee, and talks about the Recreation Division and what we oversee. So the Recreation Division oversees The ice rink, the pool, the nature center, indoor and outdoor facility rentals, our volunteer and parks program, special events, general youth, adult, and therapeutic recreation, along with all of our visitor services. So, you know, all of our office cash handling, all that sort of stuff runs through the recreation division.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about the committee makeup. So this committee is made up of 7 members. Some of you are representing program participants, and some of you are representing community partners. And then we also have 2 parks commissioners, Jim and Joel, who will be representing as well. So a total of 9 people. Is that right? Yeah. And we're going to be meeting every other month, or as needed. We probably will be coming up with some bylaws. Actually, not probably. We will be coming up with bylaws, and we'll be discussing down the road some staggering of term limits, because you all were appointed at the same time.
Right.
So we'll have to figure out how we can stagger those, and so we'll be talking about that later as well. So the role of the committee, and I didn't put this in your packet, but I wanted to show if you guys want to pass those around. So this chart actually shows just what the Recreation Division oversees in their operations, and it also shows, I'm a very visual person, so I like to see things and how, and sorry the writing's a little bit small, but it really talks about what the Parks and Recreation Commission does and what their role is. And the Parks and Recreation Commission, their purview is goal setting. They oversee the budget and acquisition and development, and they set policy. And then if you look to the left-hand side, there's subcommittees. And our department has quite a few subcommittees. You can tell we have the RDAC, we have a golf subcommittee, we have the Bee City subcommittee, we have a long-range planning, we have the Ashland Senior Advisory Committee, and the Parks Conservation and Maintenance subcommittee. And those committees are responsible for making recommendations to the Parks Commission. So this committee has a very important job. So we're going to be doing goal setting. We're going to be recommending policies. Collaborating. We're going to be collaborating together on things. And I want you to know, this group to know, that you are our resource as staff. So we're looking to you to be our advocates and be our resource. So. That's kind of where it's at.
Go ahead.
So is the idea that all the different areas that Parks oversees, at some point this committee would go through and kind of look, like, say, golf, and spend time?
We could.
I'm just trying to imagine.
Are you talking about, like looking at, say, Lonnie oversees like the ice rink and the pool, looking at what the operation of the ice rink and the pool and how that kind of functions within the recreation division.
Yeah, I mean, is it the kind of thing where we would be updated on just sort of the basics, like how those two entities work, and then looking for opportunities for improvement?
Sure, I think that definitely.
Something
like, great. Yeah, I think that's definitely something that we could work into. I think it's important for this group to know how our operations work and function, and that's definitely something we can talk about.
Great.
Yeah. And then on the other side, you'll see the APRC staff, which is run by the APRC director, overseen by the director, and our job is to accomplish the goals of the commission and to oversee the daily operations of all of our divisions. And to support the commissioner subcommittee, so support the subcommittee. So being here in this room, having Cheryl and Anna here, and making sure that the public process is followed. That's our role as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you an overview. Does anybody have any questions about that?
This is Sandy. Thank you.
Yeah, I had to do it for myself. Good. Okay. And if you look in your packet, the next thing in your packet is. So I put together some goals for the committee, and these are just kind of a starting point for the group. And if I can give you a little bit of background, if you look at the sheet that says 2016 performance audit, and then also has APRC goals.
Mm-hmm.
So back in 2016, just to give you a quick history, and I'm not keeping track of the time, but whatever. Thank you. We're good. So back in 2016, bye, Michael. The Parks and Rec Department conducted a performance audit. And so that means that they looked at each of our divisions and made recommendations on things that we were doing well, maybe things that we could improve on. And some of the things that came out of that, so then the Parks Commission went through and ranked the goals. Is that right, Jim? You guys ranked, the Parks Commission ranked those, what's the most important. Well, one of the really important things that came out of that was this committee. So to establish this committee. So check. And some of the other things that came out of the performance audit was the Recreation Division doing a needs assessment. Establishing, online customer feedback, a needs assessment to identify underserved groups. So who are the people that we're serving, and what should we be offering? So looking at that, then the next thing is cost recovery, which, we do have a pretty good handle on cost recovery, but I think that developing a clear and consistent percentage formula, and also looking at some kind of, I would look at it like a pyramid, which groups, the commission kind of, every year when we go to the Parks Commission for cost recovery, the commission looks at what our expenses and what our revenue, and we're making decisions on the amount of subsidy, so the amount of things that we're subsidizing, which we pretty much subsidize everything. Actually, we do subsidize everything. Except, well,
the question of degree.
Except Pi Guanajuato.
The question of how much.
And the rec division is pretty close, though, isn't it? As far as the programs?
Closer.
And the golf course is hopeful?
Yeah. So looking at that and what we're choosing to spend the most subsidy on. Like, the commission has made it very clear that swim lessons are a very important thing to be offering in this community, and we definitely don't recover our costs on swim lessons. And
senior center
is another
no recovery, and and the nature center is
low cost recovery. I'm proud to say it. We subsidize the heck out of environmental education and empowers our youth and connects them with their environment. So there's a bit of that.
It's a recreation as well.
Mm-hmm. And while we support all that and want to support all those communities, we also have limited dollars.
Absolutely.
So figuring out where we can do more service, we can't continue to subsidize everything.
Mm-hmm. Which makes it staff's job to be more creative with the resources that we have and finding ways to cut expenses by sponsorships and marketing and getting more creative with the dollars that we have and that sort of thing. So looking at all that, and then also after the needs assessment and after the cost recovery piece, looking at a comprehensive plan for the Recreation Division. And this is all, very, very big and kind of stresses me out when I think about all this. But I think if we take little pieces at a time, I think with this committee's input, we can really move things forward. There's two things that the Recreation Division has been tasked with as far as a Parks and Recreation Commission goals. And these are goals that are set by the Parks Commission with some input from staff. So the first one was, and the community, the first one was improve public aquatic recreation and competitive options, and that was basically to move forward with the pool. And that's happening, that's in process right now. We're in a design phase on that right now, and we're hoping to move that forward as quickly as possible. The second thing was a goal of the Parks Commission. It's number 12 on their list for the next two-year budget, and it's work with Ashland School District to get agreements to use school gyms for recreation leagues or open play for volleyball, basketball, and pickleball during non-school times and during smoke events. So that's on the list. And I know some of you have talked to me about that before, and that's something that this committee will work on. We can come up with actionable items to be able to move this goal forward in the biennium.
And that deals with working with Ashland School District, which is a challenge, I say, putting it mildly, maybe. And, so it's going to take some outreach and anybody who knows anybody on the school board, mm-hmm. start lobbying, and we can work it out somehow, I think. It's mm-hmm. just a matter of the will.
Is SOU like part involved in that at all either? Because I know that they like opened up a couple of their mm-hmm. spaces during the smoke.
Yeah.
The
smoke.
See,
we're talking about a little more comprehensive, because we're assuming there's going to be no more smoke, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Joel can speak for himself, but for me, growing up in Los Angeles without the gyms being open, mm-hmm. it would have been a disaster for me growing mm-hmm. up. You know, sports was really important for me, mm-hmm. and that was a go-to place, and so I can relate to that, and you don't see it here. It's gone away. At one point, there was a system for this, working back and forth, but there's also, if you knew a teacher who had a key, that was always handy.
Right,
Tim
right.
Brandy being one of them, who had a key. So we need to formalize it and get, because there's facilities are sitting there.
Right.
That are, you know, very valuable community facilities. So that was one. I think we're both speaking on that same note.
Rachel, did you say this time frame for these goals is 2 years?
So for the APRC goals, the ones down below.
Yeah.
Yes, and we don't. It doesn't necessarily mean that we have to show. It has to be like accomplished and done.
Right.
But we want to show progress in that goal, and what are some actionable items that we
and
can
is that starting in 2020 then?
That's starting now, through the end of the budget is July of 2021. June of 2021 is the end of our 2 year budget.
Okay.
So we have some time.
Okay.
And I don't want you guys to think that these are the only goals that we can work on. This is a starting mm-hmm. point, and these are things that right now came up during the performance audit and came up during the Parks Commission mm-hmm. Goal setting process. Mm-hmm. And so these are actionable things that we can work on now, but there will be other opportunities as well.
Especially because the needs assessment will probably uncover the direction thing mm-hmm. that we can mm-hmm. do together.
And I would just like to add that when I think I had something to do with coming up with that goal,
mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's only schools that we can look at. I think there might be other, mm-hmm. Briscoe School is no longer a school, mm-hmm. but they have a gym. Lincoln School is not a school, but it has a gym. SOU, I think, especially with
churches.
The likelihood that more summers are going to be like, not like last summer, but the two previous ones, where it is hard to get out and be active. That and whatever other, warehouses used to be an option until cannabis industry rented them all. But just ways to be able to use some indoor spaces, both for winter for kids that don't have other options, and in summer, heat and smoke.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if, I'm a little bit curious, so the YMCA and the school programs themselves don't cover this? I'm wondering who's not covered currently, because I know my kids in school, they do their activities through the school, and a lot of kids do activities through the Little League or whatever. So I'm wondering, is there a group that's not being served?
Well, one group that I grew up, when I came to this town, and people who were in their 20s, 30s, and 40s had softball leagues, basketball leagues,
volleyball. So we're talking about adults.
So adults is one thing. For kids who, for whatever reason, aren't hooked in to the Y,
okay.
And the Y is pretty overpacked. They've got one gym,
mm-hmm.
and they mm-hmm. squeeze it pretty well. They utilize it well. I think they do a decent job. But, I would think there'd be...
But we're thinking adults. So, like...
I think
if we're talking in the summer too specifically, I think we're talking about kids too.
Yeah.
And I think I know that when we had the big smoke event 2 years ago, we were getting calls from people who wanted to come and use our small little room that we have in the Grove, and to get out.
I was just wondering what group it is we're trying that's not covered already.
You're focusing on the formalized sports, which I'm not sure your children probably, if they're in soccer, they're in a formalized...
They're not in any of that, but yeah.
Huh?
They're not in any of that, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're ballroom dancers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Whatever sport.
But anyway,
ballroom dancing.
But I know a lot of people, I know a lot of their friends and kids, they're involved in school sports and stuff, so I'm just curious which kids are not being covered by...
The rest of the kids.
Oh, I would definitely say our at-risk population, mm-hmm. our, the diverse,
If the question is not saying that
yeah.
it shouldn't happen.
I would definitely think there
most of the kids I know are already involved in stuff. So I'm curious.
And then in Smoke, it's like everybody, kids and adults. You know, there's just not enough things going on because Parks and Rec had planned all these events for outdoors that just keep getting canceled. Okay. So,
But then most of those programs, too, we have to remember that people pay for them. So we're, again, losing our low-income families and our low-income students. And so I think it's great. I mean, growing up in the city, just knowing that, you know, school gyms were open and...
And formal sports are seasonal, too. Yeah. It's like, I want to shoot around and it's not basketball
season. So we're not talking formal sports so much.
I see there's a plenty that you made a good point. Formal sports are pretty solid.
They're pretty covered.
And I would also point out that they're well covered for the top athletes.
Yeah.
Right.
Good point. The kids who make the high school basketball team get plenty of basketball. The kids who just like to shoot around, if they're not willing to show up every day and put in 2 hours, they're not on the team.
So is it correct that we're looking for more informal, we're looking for adults, and we're looking for kids who can't afford to be part of those other groups that we're looking for. And if I could just interject,
I mean, I think it's about more than just Smoke. I mean, Smoke is just propelling us to look at it, but it seems to me that there is an opportunity that it isn't just Park's responsibility to fill this gap that's been there. And I know that the process with the pool is like, Parks looked for years for partnering with, I won't mention them all, we've already mentioned them, but the solution, I don't know if there's a way that this entity could help with this, and I don't know, but the solution I think isn't just Parks puts another thing on its back to carry by itself, because it's a community problem, and I think it requires a community partnership solution.
Yeah, the partnerships are key, I think, because SOU and the school district really aren't part of our partnershiping yet, but then I'm hopeful that that's what we're all about here, and networking, and the amount of people we all know around this table, it's thousands of people, so it's really going to be helpful in moving forward, and you know, all we can do is try, and kicking around ideas and embedding the ideas, this is going to be the
Most Corey, you were asking, who are we targeting?
I'm just trying to get some clarity on which groups, because I'm not involved in the past discussion, so that helps me to understand who we're trying to
serve. I mean, that's going to be what this discussion is great, and I think that can be something we can define, this group can define, and Lonnie wanted to say something.
No, I was just going to point back to the goal of the needs assessment is going to be the power where we can have, you know, if we work towards a needs assessment and really answer those questions and say, who really is in need, what do they need, and go back to the schools, we have this power in our hands with that needs assessment. So pointing back to the goals of the commission was the point I wanted to bring up.
Yes. Okay, very good, great discussion. Does anybody have anything else to say on this? And these aren't the only goals. I just want to make that clear. I just wanted to give us kind of a starting point. But we're going to move forward today because we still have some other things that we need to talk about. And I do want to mention, I forgot to mention this, we actually have two members that actually are not here today. One is Pam Downs, and she is a swim coach at the high school, I think. And she had practice, she couldn't attend. And then Beth Morris, who has been really involved with our adaptive programming. And I'm not actually sure why she's not here. She was supposed to. So,
what's adaptive?
It's our programs for exceptional.
Oh.
Exceptional people.
Good.
So, so moving forward, we're going to talk about roles and responsibilities of you as a member of this subcommittee. So I'm going to actually pass it over to Lonnie to talk about the handout. We're going to briefly go over public meeting requirements. I'm just going to give you guys some reminders of things that you should do, things that you shouldn't do as a member of the subcommittee.
Okay, so I'm going to be referencing this. It was, I guess, originally a PowerPoint presentation. I wanted to make note that this, I didn't create this. This was actually created by the city for city councilors to, I guess, educate on the public meeting laws So, like the misspelling on the first page, that was not me. If we can, we'll just turn right to the first couple of pages, looking at public meeting laws and who must follow. So basically all this saying is, this is state law, and the people that must follow this is any city governing body, which they do reference a council, but this would also be the Parks and Recreation Commission, or any other subcommittee, such the pool ad hoc committee was under the same rules because it was commissioned by the Parks and Recreation Commission. So this subcommittee also falls under these laws. Okay. So going to the next couple of pages, that is us. So what is the law and what is a meeting? And I'm not going to read through all these bullet points. We will ask you on your own time to review this packet, become familiar with all the intricate details. The biggest points here is to understand what a quorum is. Mm-hmm. And in this, of course, it says four or more. In our case, it would be more than half of this nine-member committee. So this doesn't include staff. It would just be both commissioners and the seven members chosen as community members would. So our number is five. If there are five or more of the committee meeting, that is a quorum and is subject to the law, the public records laws. So this applies to any documentable communications that occur. So not just within a meeting room, if you're emailing back and forth with five or more committee members, if you're out in public discussing matters of the committee with more than, or with a quorum of committee members, all these things are considered public record and are subject to some of these laws. So
when you're emailing, don't CC everybody.
Right.
Send individual emails to a couple people, and so it can't go over four. Three of us can get together and we can talk about anything we want, but once you get too many people, then we're violating that. So I know CC emails can easy, you can just send it to everybody, and that's a total no-no. You don't want to set policy without a meeting, so it's just one of those email things.
So moving on to requirements for meetings and the practical tips. I have this as page 5 and 6. One of the things that we will do as staff is that we will send out a public notice of our meeting schedule at least 24 hours in advance. Usually it's much more than that if we can. These announcements must include the space, the location, the accessibility for ADA requirements, and that it should be accessible to all the public. And then also that we are posting an agenda for these meetings and that people are aware of what the business is. So if there's going to be votes made, if there's going to be discussion on matters, we put this in the agenda so that it's posted to the public and they know what's going on. Also, in creating a public record, as we're doing right now, that everything is being recorded, that minutes are taken and minutes are posted after the meeting so that people, if they couldn't attend the meeting, would go back and be able to review, well, what occurred in this meeting, so that they are informed. And a point that we'd want to make about this is in these rooms, especially when the public doesn't attend the meeting, we should still approach the meeting as though they are listening, because technically they are. The recording device is on. And in conversation, sometimes things could be misinterpreted. The public could grab hold of it. So I guess just be mindful of what is said in the meeting and making sure that there aren't misleading comments or anything that may be in a recording, you know, that people could take differently.
Out of context or something.
It could happen, but it's just good to be mindful of that. So, as it was mentioned before, a record, we of course have the digital recording, Big Brother's out there, so, you know, everything's a record, anything documented, notes being passed back and forth in the meeting would be subject to public record laws. Anyways, I'll move on. So that goes through on page 7.2 is a little bit more details on what is a public record. So in preparing the agenda, what we would prefer to do is when we post the meeting announcement to the public, is that we're also posting the agenda at the same time, and that the agenda is capturing everything that we intend on discussing at the meeting. And the best way to do this would be to email if there was a request that you had for an agenda item that I want to talk about X, that you would email staff, Rachel, myself, Libby, or really any of the recreation staff, to say please add this to the agenda ahead of that posting. And probably what is going to happen is that once we elect a chair for the committee, there will probably be a chair, vice chair arrangement, that the chair will kind of become the person responsible for communicating to staff and saying these are the agenda items that we want to see on the agenda. Also, we will refer back to the minutes from the previous meeting to determine if there are any agenda items we need to come back to. So there is also, and one more thing to mention is when we get these agenda items in advance, it allows staff to prepare and provide background if we need to do a memo. And say, okay, you want to discuss this situation. Here's some, pertinent information about the background of these, what we're talking about. You can, at the beginning of the agenda, and I don't know if it was added to our agenda, but there can be a request for agenda items to be added at the beginning of the meeting. So you'll see that in future agendas. So there will be a point in time at the beginning of the meeting where committee members can say, I would like to add such and such to the agenda. Just be aware, the members and the staff may be limited in the ability to discuss these items until, we can go back and really dig deeper, depending on what it is.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Go ahead.
One of the things that I want to make sure that you all understand is that eventually down the road, maybe at the next meeting, maybe at the meeting after next, we're going to need to look at electing a chair and a vice chair. And the chair of the committee, basically their function would be to work with staff to set the agenda and to run the meeting. So I'm running the meeting this time, maybe for the next couple times, but eventually one of you would be the chair. And I think in most of our subcommittees, and Jim and Joel, correct me if I'm wrong, they usually look to the citizen members to be the chairs as opposed to the parks commissioners. Is that correct? Do you know?
I know the.
That's how it is on ASAC, on the Ashland Senior Advisory Committee.
Mm-hmm. That's how it is on the B-City.
That's how B-City is too.
Yeah, I don't know if any committees where a commissioner is chair.
So the chair.
I've been chairing the plaques and memorials because I trying to think of. There's no citizen.
We didn't have citizens.
Oh,
you
don't have citizens. Okay.
Yeah.
So we would look to the chair to run the meeting and to work with staff to set agenda. The vice chair is basically steps in when the chair is not available to attend the meeting.
Yeah.
So those are the two. Main positions within this committee. I'm not expecting anyone to tell me if they're interested in being chair or vice chair. Just think about it. We'll be talking about it at a future meeting.
By the way, the previous chair, you can see what happened.
And we have some really dedicated staff that will make your job pretty easy. So.
Okay. Just a few more points to make and then I'll be done. As Jim had alluded to previously, there may be information that you need to communicate. You may want to communicate to the group in between the months or the days that we meet regularly. And there is a way to send information, and that would be to email staff directly, to not email a quorum. And so, as you mentioned, and then staff would actually email out and blind copy everybody on it so that hopefully nobody hits reply all, but you shouldn't be able to reply all on a blind copy, so that that information is out there but isn't necessarily subject to public record. Do be aware of the reply all if you aren't already, that sometimes messages could go out by mistake and everybody is included on it, and then by replying all would create that quorum. One other thing to address as far as communication within the meetings, especially with the recording device on, is that the term committee or even subcommittee kind of connotates a quorum or a group of officials making official decisions. There may be a decision at a later point in time where we decide there needs to be other groups kind of taking on smaller areas of work, where we should refer to these as working groups. And these would be less than a quorum of the committee members, probably would include staff support in these smaller working groups. A good example on our pool ad hoc committee would be the outreach working group, where a small number of us took on specific tasks and accomplished them for the, you know, progress of the entire subcommittee.
And then brought the information back and shared with the larger group.
Yeah, the Trails Master Plan Review Committee had an interesting time trying to meet these requirements and edit a document. So we used Google Docs.
Google Docs, yeah.
And I'm not the most savvy computer person, but it was a real challenge. But, you know, it's just something you have to do. So that was like breaking up into different groups, and then the editors would get the copies. And so we got it edited, and we met state requirements. It can be done.
One other small point too, the months, or because it's every other month, that time in between regular meetings is the good time for the working groups to get together and tackle whatever work comes up. Finally, in this packet that I'm going to hit really briefly, because actually the number of pages that cover ethical laws go on quite a bit, so I'm not going to insult anyone's intelligence to be able to review those on their own. It's very, I would say it's unlikely that this would come up in this subcommittee, but it's still something that everyone should be aware of. And kind of the guiding principle of this is using your position with the city or access to the city's resources, which are basically taxpayer-funded resources, for any personal gain is likely an ethical violation. And there are state ethics laws that are addressed there. Usually it comes in the form of gifts, of conflicts of interest, you know, awarding contracts, and turns out to be, you know, of relation or something. There is kind of addressing either actual or potential ethical violations. So please look at that. Again, it's unlikely, but it should be addressed. And either commissioners or Rachel, if you want to add anything to that, I think those are the most, well, those would
be making motions and seconding and voting, but that's to recommend to the elected body, and the elected body has a lot more stringent rules from the state level. But so we're an advisory group here,
And we're recommending to the commission.
This commission.
Okay. Yeah, this is an advisory committee to the commission. What was I going to say about
If anybody has any questions about any of the stuff that Lonnie went over, if you're like reading through and you're like, oh, you can send any of us an email, one of us an email, and we can get the answer for you. So we are mandated to meet every other month or as needed. As far as scheduling regular meetings, I was just going to throw something out, and if we all start going, no, it's not going to work, I've got a backup plan of getting your schedules, and we're going to try to make something work. So basically, we're looking at scheduling our next meeting. We're looking at the second Thursday of each month, and don't think about a location every other month. Second Thursday of every other month. So basically, what we would look at is the next meeting being March 12th.
And you know, Rachel, that I'm not the crucial, but I'll be in Baja.
You'll be in Baja?
Till March 18th.
Okay. But is that okay if you miss
one?
I'm
okay with missing one. Okay. That works for everybody else.
Okay.
Same time?
It'll be the same time, and it probably won't be in this location. I'm going to look at looking at some other potential.
Parking was a little tough out there.
Yes, I'm going to be looking at potentially council chambers as an option because nobody ever uses that room in the afternoon, on Thursday afternoon. So I'm hoping that that's really good parking, accessible, comfortable.
It's right close to your office.
Yeah. So I'll be looking at that. But does March 12th work for people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Same time?
Yes.
Yeah. It would be great if it was a half hour earlier, but I can make it work.
Could people make 3:30 work or no?
I can't.
You can't? Okay.
No.
Okay. We'll do 4.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I can in the summer months.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a good compromise. Okay. Wow, that was really easy.
Wow. There's a whole spreadsheet and everything.
I know, I can show you because Libby made this whole spreadsheet morning, midday, afternoon. You're supposed to mark if you're available or you could work or it's not available. So now we don't have to, we can save it for something else.
I, for some reason, I already had it written in.
Really?
Yeah, I just went to March 12th. I was like, CPC meeting. That's this, right?
No.
No. Oh.
No,
maybe you have a conflict.
What is that, 5:30?
What is that meeting?
Is it conservation?
No.
It must not be that important.
No, it must not be that important.
No. No.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Does anybody have any...
Just pretend it's fine.
Okay. Before we move on to the final thing, I want to see if anybody has any follow-up questions about anything we've gone over today before we move on to the next thing, our closing piece. Okay.
So, I guess I had a quick question just about the conflict of interest thing. So, like, if we are talking about smoke, like, alternative events indoors and stuff, is me proposing doing any kind of like indoor silent disco events like a conflict of interest?
I wouldn't say per se because we're looking at a more global level, and we're looking at more than just we're looking at pickleball, we're looking at basketball, we're looking at like a multitude of activities. But I mean, it could affect. I don't think it's a conflict of interest to say that if you had a silent disco or a movie in the park, and all of a sudden we have a smoke event, if we have a place to put you that's indoors and it's one that's already scheduled it, we're just going to move you.
Okay,
I don't see that as a conflict.
But making individual policy
based on that, it's not a more global level.
Yeah.
I was a pickleball instructor before I became a parks and rec. So we're having a discussion of silent disco in some way.
We're having a discussion about silent disco. Right. Jordan would have to recuse himself. Talking about dance classes before we would have to recuse yourself.
Got it. That's good to know. But you can lobby for the pool as much as you want.
That's right, because I just pay whatever they say.
And you show up and stand without hitching. I know.
Pay whatever.
That's a good question, Jordan. And we can, if there's more clarity needed on that, we can get some more clarity on that too. So as we move forward.
Okay.
Any other questions about anything we've talked about so far? Okay. So the last activity that we want to do, we have 20 minutes. We have 20 minutes for, which is pretty much exactly what I allotted for, is a roundtable discussion. And I'm just going to throw out a question. And I want you to take some time to think about it. and based on what we've talked about today, or something that we didn't even talk about today. And this is the question: what are your hopes and dreams for this committee? What are your hopes and dreams for this committee? What would you like to see happen with this committee?
We go around the circle again?
We don't have to go around. You can actually, I don't want to put pressure on people, so if you need to think about it a little bit, if people
I know.
Just want to shout it out, I'm going to write it up here so I can take a picture of it and take it home with me. Go ahead, Tori.
So I've got three things on my little list that I brought here.
Okay.
As a taxpayer, I'm interested in making things pay for themselves and taking advantage of what we can. I've got three things coming, two from the scouts and one coming from another dance instructor, which, you know, the scouts are having serious acoustic problems over there at Pioneer Hall. They have volunteered to fundraise for, curtains may be out because of whatever reasons, but they've offered to fundraise, provide labor, whatever, to see if they can help resolve that issue. They also have in the past done a lot of works in the parks as Eagle Projects, and whoever their connection was before is no longer there, so they're having trouble. You know, if you need something built, the scouts are there. They would love to help build things. They can't do maintenance like weeding type things, but if anybody knows in parks, hey, we need a bench, we need, you know, some facility, we need a trail, the scouts would love to be involved in that. That's two things for the scouts. And then for the Grove sound system, we've been talking about for at least a decade. Audrey Flint, who does the Broadway, she does the Broadway for Boomers class, and I would love to get a little bit more formal setup in there, because every time we go in, we have to rewire the thing. We'd love to, you know, do some fundraising. We're willing to do that and kind of discuss what the needs are. We're friends also with Suzanne Sieber, who does the tap classes. We'd love to get together and see if we can help fund that and make some progress in that area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Did I capture it okay?
You got it.
So can I ask you a question about the scouts?
Sure.
So, yeah, have you been trying to contact someone in parks? I just want to clarify.
Whoever it was who used to be in charge of Lithia Park, sort of the maintenance guy in charge of Lithia Park, would sort of identify, you know, hey, I'd really love to have a bench here. I don't know if it was a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And they would contact this guy, and so there's a bench out there, and there's a whole picnic table with a little trail out there that the scouts did a couple of years ago. You know, they were looking at doing bear-proof trash containers, things like that, you know, because we're all part, you know, all the scouts are wandering around Lithia Park all the time, saying, ooh, this would be cool, that would be cool.
Okay.
And some of the Eagle Scouts, they're pretty young right now, the group they have, but when those Eagle Scouts come up, they're looking for projects, and they do the fundraising, and I guess they've been contacting some people and been told, well, we don't have money for that. And the point is, the scouts raise the money for that, so if people can kind of keep in the back of their minds, hey, it would be really cool if the pickleball court had X, Y, and Z, and that's something the scouts could do. So they painted over at North Mountain Park. They painted the building, this big brown building. Now they went out and painted that building. They provided, you know, 30 scouts came over there and painted the thing, fundraised, raised money for the paint. So jobs like that, the scouts would love to do.
Okay, great. Thank you, Corey. Who else wants to?
I like mine equally as large, but two words, diversity and inclusion, and it really doesn't have to be that big. But I'd love to see more diversity even on our committee in the future and in the programs that we provide and to the communities that we're serving in our city.
Are you talking about economic, ethnic?
I'm talking the full gamut as far as diversity. I think cultural diversity, I think economic diversity, I think age and ability. I think that we're missing some really important populations and who and how we serve. And maybe I'm just, you know, bringing my lens from, you know, the school district.
We all do.
Yeah.
That's important. I mean, that's why actually we wrote that into, I don't know if you saw in the policy, we did write it in diversity and inclusion.
Yeah.
So we are looking at that. So appreciate that. Val.
One of the things that's on my mind and the communities I'm connected to is the loss of our community center.
And I would love to see this committee be effective in somehow replacing that, either recovering the use of it somehow or replacing it by finding another facility that can provide as much or even more. Just addressing that.
Mm-hmm. I'll second that one. Be fine.
Yeah. Any dancer is gonna.
Well, could I just add to that, or just that when the community center was fully functioning and Pioneer was fully functioning, it was not meeting the needs of our community.
I'm not saying it's adequate.
No,
but it's even worse than.
No, I'm just.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of. It's been one of those kick the can down the road,
right.
And now. We're just kicking.
You know,
we're just in place. Yeah. I mean, we're not.
So maybe we can break out of that and do something effective here.
Yeah, the city owns those buildings.
I'm aware.
We only run.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
So it's an interesting situation, and you're preaching to the choir right here as part of that.
Well, that's
and
my hope for the committee.
It was a disaster for us to lose what we had. And
right.
I would agree with you
when you
said that. It'd be nice to expand on it. Man, we had to scramble, and everybody, staff, it was a big thing to lose those facilities.
But maybe, like you said, maybe there's other opportunities if the community...
Yeah, and we're a committee now, and we can do more as a group than ever before.
Great, thanks. I would echo what Rebecca said about... just extending the reach of Ashland Parks to better meet the needs of underserved people in our community, which, you know, that's a vast you know, it's not just the seniors, it's not just people of color, it's not just people economically challenged. And then, of course, I have to just say that I feel like I'm a voice for the unaffiliated swimmers. They bug me all the time, and that's fine, but I want to speak for them and myself, just looking forward to a longer swim season. Not year-round, because I understand, but half a year, okay? Half a year swimming outside.
You're so persistent,
Lisa. Yeah, and I guess I'll just echo that again about the underserved groups in the community. You know, doing the silent discos, I think we had no idea that we were going to tap into such a diverse crowd and see that we were fulfilling this this need of so many different groups, and it was. That wasn't like our goal going into it, you know, and all of a sudden we were like, oh wow, like kids are like teenagers are coming to this and think it's cool. And you know, and that and doing that whole thing, and even the whole like interactive synth wagon, like I guess for me doing all this, I really learned a lot about like what makes kids these days, teenagers, whatever, all these different groups and different age groups like tick. Like what are they looking for? Like, what drives them? What makes them? What are they passionate about? You know, and just from doing our events, I'm able to see a lot of these different things. It gives me a lot of ideas of like, well, you know, and I grew up in Ashland, and I was a totally rambunctious teenager that probably almost died way too many times and didn't have enough like outlets, and I was like a bored teenager here, you know, and so I think you know. Feeling that way, I like look at kids nowadays, and I just feel like using technology, there's so many ways that we can think outside the box, and that's what I'm trying to do with the silent discos. And I think there's so many other ideas that I come up with that I'm like you know, think would be great for that we could discuss in this, you know, that maybe like if we don't have resources for a community center right now, what are other activities that we can figure out like outdoors that kids will actually come to, you know, so.
Yeah, I think the Grove initially was a teen center.
Exactly.
It was underwhelming, the reaction to it, and so.
It wasn't cool enough, apparently.
And that's the point. How do we tap into what strikes?
And that's the really hard thing. Is like as soon as you say, like class for teens, the teens won't come.
Right, exactly.
And that's why I think the silent discos work is because it's for everybody. We don't say, oh, this is for families or this is for kids or teens.
And I think it's interesting you came up with a hearing challenged solution. Not you were gonna try it out.
Yeah, yeah.
You wear a device so you can feel the music.
Yeah.
You know, that's outside the box.
Yeah.
Stuff, you know? Totally. That is one of those things that who would have ever thought you have a silent disco and you're for sound. People who are hearing impaired.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the kind of thinking that
yeah.
this
and
group
and more become. And more seniors are becoming hearing impaired.
I wonder if down the road whether it would make sense for this committee, of course it's not our decision, but to include in the 9-person group to feed into the senior project at the high school and get some input from some younger people, if there could be a seat or two that are comprised, it's the young people's seat that actually isn't a 3-year commitment, just because it's unrealistic, but. I don't know. It could bring a richness that we old people, older people, younger old people can't. We can't. You know, it's a different person.
But we're set up. We're set up to invite anybody we want
from
to come here and speak to us.
Maybe it would be more of like an outreach thing. You know, like somehow reaching out to the middle schoolers, the high schoolers, being like, hey, we want your input. Mm-hmm. Come to this.
Maybe we create a spot on our agenda. The underserved input that we're looking for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's easy to do as long as we don't include them in this group formally.
Yeah.
But it's an informal meeting, so we can have people show up, give presentations, and we kind of search for that kind of stuff. And you could even, like, say the citizen can show up and at some point they can even speak to stuff that's not on the agenda that we think of later and go, we need to put that on the agenda. So any ideas that you network and have people come in, we're open to that. That's kind of what we're all about.
Okay. So what I'm suggesting, though, is that there be, like, a place so that let's make it unusual that we don't have that input at a meeting. Like, that... It's like, oh, well, for...
Like on the agenda.
Yeah.
It's held on the agenda.
And somehow there's some sort of outreach that happens here with one of us to include those voices that... you're obviously very dialed in.
I agree, and I think there's some opportunities too. We do have, Jordan is connected, and we have Rebecca at the high school. We also have our new volunteer and event coordinator, Susan Mott Shelton, who's hopefully going to be very well connected at the high school here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So I think there's some really good opportunities down the road for us to connect with that.
Some of us have young people.
And some of us have young people in the high school. So I think that's really, it's a really good thought, Risa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so like leadership at the high school as a whole,
four
or X amount of years, the students can get those credits. The senior class co-presidents are great resources as well. Senior projects may be kind of problematic because you've got your snapshot of 100
it's
hours.
It's too short.
They're out.
But community service.
Community service would be another one. So really starting with the leadership and the new principal, making that connection when that new principal comes on board, that would be worthwhile.
There isn't a new principal yet? You guys have an interim?
We have an interim for the year. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. What else?
Well, when you said hopes and dreams,
came
up for me is that continued focus on more indoor facilities. I mean, community center obviously is one piece that we lost, and even before that, as we've said, we had a shortage. the things I quickly made notes about is thinking about the kids and sustainability with whatever we're doing, you know, that we're impacting the next generation well. And I'd also like to just have us be aware that we all have our own particular niche and passions that we speak to, but really trying to not just look at it from that, but we have a variety of experiences and friends that have concerns, and to really, you know, I could talk about pickleball and even more pickleball all the time, indoor pickleball, and how many people we're serving, and I do talk about that, but that's not what I see my role at this committee at. I want to think expansively and specifically about a lot of different areas.
And a lot of times, and so to us trying to recreate a wheel, here, other communities have the same, I'm assuming they have the same type groups that have done things, and so it's always good to tap into what other communities do and to get ideas. And
I saw an advertisement for Silent Disco in on the Big Island this last week. It was surprising.
Let's go on a field trip.
Okay, we have 6 minutes left.
I just want to throw out an idea that that just got spawned about the community center. Is like, if we don't have that facility, and that's a really important thing, what about the idea of it sort of tying into these partnerships that we're talking about doing? What about the idea of like almost doing a pop-up community center that would be like that way it could be shared among all these different facilities that would basically like be able to be responsible of being the community center for like 2 months or a month or something, and it would sort of be this like partnership thing that would be, it would still be this central hub that any kind of groups that needed a space could reach out to the pop-up community center like website or whatever to book their time, and it would be at this facility these months, and then it would shift and be at this place. But it's like that might be less of a commitment than like to a facility to be able to host it, and it might also be a good like sort of way they could, we could, it could be a donation of sorts or like an advertising partnership thing.
And get their attention for the future.
Just like pop-up things are like the new the new
thing.
There's
so many you know Cheryl will tell you when people can't use Pioneer Hall or one of our other, well, we don't have very many facilities, Pioneer Hall. she sends down a list of other facilities that are available in the community, and we do have that starting place too.
Right. So yeah, so maybe just branding it more, something like that, that would be, it would actually be a thing rather than like, oh, here's all these other people you can contact. It'd be like, yeah, our community center's here right now.
And so you're expanding on actually one of the goals that we start out with.
Right.
That's another thing is like, think about, these aren't necessarily goals in the sense that if they're budgetary issues, this is a 24-month system. It's nice to talk about those and prepare for the time that comes, because staff knows that you got to hit it when the time is right, which is just before the council starts talking about working on their budget, so we have to be prepared. But a budget issue, it's a long time between points where, but the fundraising, whoever came up with the fundraising, you know, that's a beautiful thing, and Vivienne knows a little bit about writing grants and doing stuff like that, and not that we can depend on that, but anytime an opportunity comes up, you know, that would help our recreation focus.
Well, I think, you know, people who use those facilities are willing to contribute to them.
Yeah. You know, we're looking at $500,000 for the community center just to get it maybe back and running. So, you know, there's always big numbers connected. Let alone a separate building, which would be multi-millions. But not that we don't deserve it. I think Joel brought up that Central Point is planning a building. It's got to be 6,000 people in Central Point. I don't know how many, but maybe not even 10. But, you know, to have groups who can do things in a smaller community, when Matt Miller came up and said, all these communities that have municipal pools that are indoor facilities, and we go, wait, that's just some little Oregon town, you know, and when somebody said, oh, well, Medford's going to do this, he said, we need a municipal pool. You know, it was a very solid statement, made no commitment, like, we got to depend on Medford, you know, that would be a disaster in my estimation. So it's really
we have to look at our community. We're 20 some thousand strong here, and we're pretty well off and diversity wise, you know. And another thing about diversity, 50% or almost 50% of the town is 50 years or older. So that you're not gonna, you know, I'd like to sell some of my years off, you know, but that's not happening. So as far as diversity, and I've noticed in 30 years of volunteering, young kids don't tend to volunteer. So that's why it's exciting to have people who are in tapped into that, to get people, younger kids, excited about government and that it runs this way. And it's just, I've seen, I mean, most of the commissions are old folk, and that's just kind of the way it is, you know. Not that it has to be, because that's what's exciting about hearing about this group who you know, I got grandchildren in the school system now, so.
Okay, so we're going to wrap it up, but I wanted to actually just quickly hear from either Lonnie or Libby, or both of you really quickly. What are your hopes and dreams for the community? Sorry to put either one of you on the spot. I know Libby.
I have two. Okay. Thank you.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Because I'd already mentioned to Rachel that I had a couple things on the front. One of them was that I'd love to have some sort of larger interpretive plan for parks, and by that I mean like informal education and the kinds of education that people would reach out for themselves, like what do they want to know about our parks and how do they want to engage with the resource. And there is a kind of a centralized interpretive theme for Parks and Rec. There's a sign that pops up about birds one day and a sign that pops up about plants another day. Some information is available on the website. Some isn't. Some is in brochures. Some is in informal talks. It would be nice to centralize that, figure out how people want to be educated. And I think there's an opportunity to use Lithia Park for more field trip education. And I think that there's a lot of wonderful, you could do service learning in Lithia Park, you could bring in high school students from all over the region who come in to OSF and get education and engage with our parks that way. So those are some things that I'm really interested in.
Well, I guess the hopes and dreams for the outcomes of this committee, I guess would be, you know, providing roadmaps for my own job. And, you know, I think one really crucial thing is completing like a professional needs assessment of the community that would really drill down deep about what the needs are and be able to focus my efforts without having to do all that research on my own, because it's a pretty big job. But taking it even further is being able to map out how we could do things that we continue to progress along with the community. As time goes on, you know, one idea that jumps out, Corey, you'd mentioned it too, about changes that could be made at the Grove. Well, we're reaching our capacity at the Grove, and hours that are available, and space that's available, and storage that's available, and there's so many things in that building that need to be fixed or are very inefficient. And I'm hoping someday to see plans to either do a massive overhaul of that building, to really turn it into, you know, a great community resource for all sorts of recreation and space. So that's, I guess, kind of where I'm hoping things go.
Okay, so we're gonna end the meeting because I like to get people in and out on time. It's 5:32. And really quickly, before I end the meeting, I wanted to find out if anyone is interested in being on a working group with me to talk about, it would probably be a pretty quick working group just to talk about bylaws and just like term limits for the committee. Probably be like an hour of time. Anyone? Jordan?
If no one else wants to do it, I'll do it.
Okay. Jordan, Risa.
That's volunteering, Risa, in this group.
Hey, thanks.
I schedule will be flexible. We can figure out time that works for all of us.
I'm going to run because I'm
okay.
An hour.
Perfect. Okay. Meeting is adjourned at 5:33 p.m. Thank you all so much for coming to the first meeting. And we'll send an email out the location for the next meeting. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you.